We're now going to read from Romans chapter 8 and begin at verse 5. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you receive the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. We cannot have a normal Christian life if we do not have a definite Christian conversion. So a true Christian conversion is the most important thing of all, is to be truly converted to Christ before we can be true Christians. So the Holy Spirit does two things in us. He regenerates us, and then he renovates us. The regeneration is an unseen work of the Spirit. He comes into our lives, and he makes us into new people. And after he's done that, he then begins to renovate us, and he puts into our hearts the desire to turn away from the old life, is what we call conversion. So regeneration is the bedrock thing that happens to us, and after that, the Holy Spirit begins to help us to turn away from the old life, and that is what we call conversion. Once you are converted into a world that is opposed to you as a Christian. But now we discover, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, because we are Christians, we discover that we have paradoxical experiences. On the one hand, we find ourselves pressurized by the world. On the other hand, we find ourselves longing for God and for his word and hungry for heaven and looking forward to the things that God has promised to us. We've got a foot in one world and a foot in the other world. And that often leads to the problems that we encounter as Christians. Why is it as Christians we live in a world that sometimes is very cruel to us? Why do we experience sufferings and trials and temptations and bad things in this world if we are Christians? It's because we live in two different worlds. And we have to plow our way through this world. And being a true Christian is a plod. It's a slog. It's not something that you wake up with to the sound of angels singing every morning. Every morning you get up, you put on your shoes and socks, you go and do whatever you've got to do in front of the mirror, and you say, today I'm going to be a Christian for Jesus. You make a new decision every morning to be true and to persevere to the end of the day. When you go to bed at night and you put your light off, you say, thank you, Lord, for helping me to be true to you today. So the true Christian life is a Christian life that is not lived to the sound of angels singing and wonderful triumphal experiences, but rather the daily slog of living in a world that is not Christian. I want to talk to you about our hidden helper, who is, of course, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the hidden helper that God has given to us to help us to live a normal Christian life. Now, in this passage that we read from Romans, you'll see, for instance, how the Apostle Paul describes two groups of people. Those who live according to the sinful nature, in verse 5, have their minds set on what that nature desires, and those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So immediately, once again in the Bible, you are confronted with this great division that you discover everywhere in the Bible. The people who want to follow God and the people who don't. The people who believe in Jesus and the people who don't. The people who live according to their sinful desires and the people who live according to the desires of the Holy Spirit. Whichever way you put it, there are these two groups of people who we meet in the Bible all the way through, from Genesis through to Revelation. And here in Romans 8, they're described in terms of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer, the two groups of people. Now, these two groups of people live in two different ways. The one group of people live following the dictates of their own natures. They live according to the sinful nature, the unregenerate nature, the unconverted nature, the nature that has got no interest in God at all. They live according to the dictates of that nature. But those who are converted, those who have been born again, those who have experienced the power of God in saving them, they live in a different way. They live with their minds set on what the Holy Spirit desires. Those are the two groups of people that we have in the world. And the person that makes the difference is the presence of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit would come to us. He said to his disciples in John chapter 14, "You know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you." Now, the people in the Old Testament never knew the blessing that you know, and that is the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was with them, and occasionally we read that he came upon people. But when Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came in great power, from that moment on, for every person who puts their faith and trust in Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within them. He brings the presence of God within them. That is why we say to Christians, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In some way which we can't understand, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within us, and he also puts us into Christ. So we have this mysterious union which we can't explain to anyone else, but it's true of everybody who's become a Christian that we are united to Christ in a unique and a mystical way, and we have the Holy Spirit living within us in this unique and this mystical way. Jesus said that he would be our comforter, who would stand alongside us and live within us. He is our helper, he is our sustainer, he is our encourager, he's the hidden helper. We can't see him, we can't touch him, we can't feel him, but God has not left us alone to live in this world with all of its trials and all of its troubles and all of its temptations without help. He has sent his Holy Spirit so that we may be helped as we live in this world. Now, I want to point out to you four ways in which the Holy Spirit helps us. There's so much to say about the Holy Spirit, you can't say it all in one sermon, but I want to pick out four things in areas in which the Holy Spirit helps us as believers to live the normal Christian life. And the first is this: he is the one who defines who a true Christian is. The Holy Spirit helps us by defining us so that we can know who we are as believers, because you'll see in verse 9 these words. "You, however," says the Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Rome, "you, however, are controlled." You are controlled. You are controlled. Do you know that, dear friend? You and I, we are controlled people. "You are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ." So there's no person in the world, according to the Apostle Paul, who can say, "I am a Christian, but I do not have the Holy Spirit." But if you are a Christian, and you are a Christian if the Holy Spirit lives within you, and that is true, when you became a Christian, the Holy Spirit took up residence within you, whether you were conscious of it or not, then the Holy Spirit controls you. You are controlled by the Holy Spirit. He controls you. Now, you can either be controlled by the Holy Spirit or you are controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by one of these two powers. So you are ever not controlled, you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, the question is, who is controlling you on a daily basis? If you want to define yourself, if you want to know who you are, and whether you are truly a Christian or not a Christian, ask yourself, who controls you on a daily basis? Does the old sinful nature control you so that your behavior is like that of the world round about you? Are you a person who is controlled by the value systems of the world round about you at work and at study and the people you see in your family who are not Christians? Is their behavior the type of behavior that you emulate? Or are you controlled by the Holy Spirit who has come to live in you, who has regenerated you and has converted you from your old life and has drawn a strict line between who you are as a Christian and who people aren't as Christians? Make no mistake, people, there is a direct and a strict line between those who are Christians and those who are not Christians. There's a line in the sand between those who are believers and those who are not believers. Now, let me just pause for a moment to say that there are many, many people who will say that they are nice people and good people and Christian people. They may not be regenerate by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be aware of that. We need to be aware of the fact that not everybody who says they are Christians are really Christians. So you'll get lots of people who will drift into a church fellowship and who will act as if they are Christians, but they have not had that life-transforming touch of regeneration and conversion and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But they can emulate the Christian life. They can copy it, mimic it, but it is not the real Christian life at all. Sometimes we get fooled by people because they are such nice people. I've said before that sometimes we have the curse of nice people who come into our church. They are so nice we can't think of them as not being converted. The great writer C.S. Lewis once wrote about nice people, and here's what he said. He said, "A world of nice people, content in their own niceness, looking no further, turned away from God, would be just as desperately in need of salvation as a miserable world, and might even be more difficult to save." Because mere improvement is not redemption. Just because somebody is nice and improves his life doesn't mean that they are saved. Now, this is what C.S. Lewis says. He says, "God became man to turn creatures into sons, not simply to produce better men of the old kind, but to produce a new kind of man. It's not like teaching a horse to jump better and better, but like turning a horse into a winged creature. God has come to do something new in us and turn us into something new." So nice people who seem to be nice and seem to be godly on the outside still need to have that transforming touch in their hearts and in their lives. And we must never let them get away with any claim to know God unless they've come to the foot of the cross and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now when you do that, when that happens to you, you're brought under the control of the Holy Spirit. So you are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. So one way in which the unseen helper, the hidden helper, helps us is to help us to think through what we do day by day as Christians. Am I behaving in this particular circumstance as a follower of Jesus, or am I behaving in this particular circumstance as the old nature would behave, as I used to behave, as I saw my father behaving, or my grandfather behaving, or my boss at work behaving? Do I emulate them, or do I emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit is now in control of my life? So he helps us to define ourselves as Christians. He defines us. Because if you're not a Christian, you do not have the Holy Spirit. But if you are a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells within you, and he is a controller. He controls us. He works within us. He steers us. He's at the helm, pushing us, steering us, working in our hearts, in our consciences, in our minds, in our knowledge, bringing to mind how we ought to be. So the first thing is, the Holy Spirit helps us by defining us as Christians. Secondly, he helps us with our daily struggles on an ongoing basis. Now have a look at verses 10, 11, and 12. But if Christ is in you, see, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now, what does Paul mean by that? Well, he means this. He means that because we are sinners, our bodies are frail. Our bodies are under the curse of death. Our bodies are our greatest problem in this world. We want to be godly, but our bodily appetites drive us in certain directions. We want to be pure, but we find impure thoughts coming to our minds. We want to be peaceable, but we find our tempers getting the better of us. Our bodies are dead, do you see? And one day we'll actually suffer physical death. So the weakness that we live with is that we have bodies that are not yet saved. We are looking for the day when our bodies will be saved. But, says the Apostle Paul, your spirit is alive because of righteousness. So you have within your dying and dead body, you have a spirit that has been made righteous because of what Jesus did on the cross. So you've got this righteousness living within a body that is mortal and a body that is in the process of decaying. So we have a living spirit and a dying body. And that can cause many, many problems for us. Because very often, the things that we know we ought to do, we don't do. The things we want to do, we don't do. The things that we don't want to do, we find ourselves sometimes doing, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 7. But we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And so Paul goes on to tell us in verse 11, that if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now we know, says Paul, we know that's a problem. We know that you have struggles every day because you're not yet perfect. We know that we all struggle as Christians, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, hey, wait a minute, say that again. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, remember the resurrection and the rolling away of the stone and the mighty power of God that brought Christ back from the dead, that same power, the Holy Spirit, is living in you, says the Apostle Paul. It's incredible to think about it, right? It's incredible to think that that is the power living within us. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. One of these days, your dying body that will one day be reduced to ashes will be raised up to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't give up the struggle, says the Apostle Paul. We know that your spirit of righteousness in you, we know that the right instincts you've got and the desire to live under the control of the Holy Spirit is sometimes impeded by the fact that we have a body that is filled with weakness and mortality. And it's not easy to be a Christian in this world. Because not only is the world a problem, but our own flesh is a problem to us. And we sometimes find ourselves doing things we shouldn't be doing. But Paul says, this very body that is a problem to you now will one day be resurrected in splendor because God cannot allow the temple in whom the Holy Spirit lives to lie in the dust forever. No, if the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is dwelling within us, then one day that dwelling will be made fit for the Holy Spirit. Do you see? Be made fit for the triune God's presence. We'll be made fit for heaven. And because that is so, because we have that great hope coming, do not give up, says the Apostle Paul, because the Holy Spirit is still within you, helping you and guiding you and controlling you, even though your body is weak, even though your body is very weak. Now, because all this is true, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and because the Holy Spirit is living within you and one day will raise you from the dead, then Paul says, while you are living in this life, here's the third thing, the Holy Spirit will always lead you. Now have a look at the following verses from verse 12 onwards. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now says the Apostle Paul, because you are Christ's and because you belong to him, and because the Spirit of God has taken up his dwelling within you. Apart from one of the ways in which he helps you on a daily basis is by leading you. What does he mean by leading us? Does it mean he'll lead me to the right girl? Or lead me to the right guy? Or lead me to the right job? Or lead me to choose the right number for the lotto? What does it mean when it says he will lead me? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us here. Now have a look again at verse 12. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation. Now, when you are not a Christian, do you know that you have an obligation? In other words, you have an instinct in you. You have a prime mover within you. Your old sinful nature moves you to do the things that the flesh wants to do. So if you're not a Christian, you find yourself moving on impulse, moving by this inner power within you to live as a person of the world will live. And so you feel obligated to do the things that the world does. You have no choice. But when you become a Christian, your obligation changes. And so the apostle says, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh. We don't have to shout back. We're not obligated to do that anymore. We don't have to hit back. We don't have to answer back. We don't have to win the arguments. We don't have to brawl and batter and shout and insult people. We don't have to live like that anymore. That's not our obligation anymore, he says. No. It's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. That's not our obligation anymore. Because if you live like that, says Paul in verse 13, you will die. That is a sign that you do not have the life of God in you. And you will die. You will die physically and you will die spiritually. And you'll be lost for all eternity if that's the way you behave. And if that marks out your behavior. No. But listen, if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is living within you, you will seek to put to death all of those things that your body tells you to do, that the world tells you to do, that the whole world of temptation squeezes you to do. He will work in you to help you to put to death those things. What does it mean when it says put to death the misdeeds of the body? It simply means saying no to sin. That's what it means. It means fighting against. It means resisting, living like the old person used to live. It means not living like you used to live as a Christian. That is what it means. So when the apostle says, for all of those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God or the daughters of God, what does he mean? He means that the Holy Spirit will always lead you in such a way that you will fight against the deeds of the flesh. That's how he leads you. He will lead you into great struggles. He will lead you into great refusals where you will say no to yourself and no to the world and no to the pressures and the temptations that come upon you. So that if you come across a porn site on your computer and there's no one at home to watch with you, you will say no to that because there's a power within you, you see, that is now working within you, controlling you, working in your conscience, saying no, 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 no. Is another power within you too, the power of the flesh, saying yes, yes, yes. So which one will you choose? And the one that you choose indicates whether you've got life or death in you. So you say no to the misdeeds of the body. And the Spirit leads you by helping you in your struggles, by helping you in your refusals, by helping you in your determination, by helping you to by sharpening your instincts so that you'll say no to the works of the flesh. And by working within you to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what we want the Holy Spirit to do is to speak to us secretly so that we will know when to cross the road and when not to cross the road. I mean, I've had people like that. The Holy Spirit said to me, cross the road. When I crossed the road, I met somebody that needed the Lord. You know, things like that. And sometimes we want the Holy Spirit to speak to us on all of those little finite things. But that is not what the Apostle Paul is teaching here. The Holy Spirit leads us in the way of holiness. He leads us in the way of fighting against ourselves so that we will live more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we grow in grace, so we will grow in wisdom, so we'll know what to do, what is right in all of the crises of life. So as you grow in grace and wisdom, you'll know whether a girl is right for you, a guy is right for you, a job is right for you. You'll know what to do in a time of crisis. You may need some help and counsel, and that's fine. But you have instincts within you that have been honed by the fact that you've been fighting against evil within you and fighting against yourself for years. Do you see? So the Holy Spirit leads you in the fight against sin. That the Holy Spirit, the hidden helper, is sent by the Lord Jesus to live within us so that he can assure us that God loves us and has accepted us. Because you see what he says in verse 15. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. Now, before you became a Christian, before anybody becomes a Christian, what hope do they have? None. We live with fear, fear of life, fear of consequences, fear of the things that go on in our hearts and in our lives. We live with those things. But when the Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts and in our lives, what does he do? He takes away all the fear. He connects us with Almighty God, and he connects us with such intimacy that we are able to enter into the very intimacy that the Lord Jesus had with his Father, which is described by the word Abba. Now, the Holy Spirit does that. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. He also convicts the world of sin. That is true. But once he has brought us to Christ, he is the instrument by which we are adopted into the family of God. And there we are, taken by the Father of heaven and earth, and we are made an heir of Christ, co-heir of all the glories to come. Now, this is an amazing thing, dear friends. And what the Apostle Paul is referring to is not only a theological fact which you read about in the Bible, but he's also referring to the fact that the Holy Spirit makes his presence felt within you. It's the Holy Spirit joining together with all the other proofs that you may have of your conversion, how you were converted, how you turned, how your life was turned around, how you felt your sin and turned to Christ and you were justified and you were forgiven, how your whole life was turned about and your whole family came together. The Holy Spirit comes and joins up with all of that to give you a witness and a testimony in your heart that you belong to the great Father in heaven. So the Lord does not leave you without help in this world. The normal Christian life is a life that is filled with fighting and struggling and plodding. Yes, that's all true. But the normal Christian life is also a life that is filled with the presence of the Holy Spirit, who lives within us and assists us and helps us on a daily basis to fight against the things that are wrong. And then more than that, the Holy Spirit even comes alongside of our own spirits within us. And in some way which we can't articulate and explain, you can't explain to anyone else, there is a knowing inside our own hearts, our own minds, our own consciousness, a subjective experience of knowing that we are the children of God and we are given that kind of assurance. So our relationship with God is changed. It's changed from one of fear. It's changed from one of judgment. It's changed from one of estrangement and hostility. And it is changed to one of a filial relationship with God. He is our Father and we are his child. And the fear and the terror of an unknown God of the universe is taken away. And the Holy Spirit is the one who does that for us. And so every person in this building tonight in whom the Holy Spirit dwells is a child of God. Sometimes you feel it more on certain occasions than on other. Sometimes you may feel strongly that you belong to God, and sometimes it may be very weak. Sometimes your circumstances may get on top of you and you may feel very sad and disillusioned and alone. At other times you may feel the joy of knowing him in a very strong way. But the fact of the matter is that if the Spirit of God is dwelling within you, you are God's child being led by him, an heir and a co-heir with Christ, and you will never be abandoned, never be left alone, and never again be lost. That's the normal Christian life. But if there's no witness in your heart, if you don't sense the presence of God at all, and there's no reality in your heart at all, no recognition of it, no sense of being controlled by this great person, the Holy Spirit, nothing like that in your heart at all, like the man I spoke to some time ago, who sat opposite a table and said to me, you know, Frank, he said, I believe everything you say. I've got no problem with you. I've got no problem with your church. I can come to church if you want me to. I believe everything you say. I wouldn't argue with the Bible. I won't argue with anything you tell me. I just don't feel anything. If you're like that, you're on dangerous ground. And we know that God is the one who does all the drawing to Christ and all the saving. But if he's placed within you the knowledge that you are not one of those in whom the Holy Spirit is dwelling. I need more than ever some help to call out to him to save me too. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for the blessed Spirit of God, for what he does in our hearts and in our lives. We pray that we may never take him for granted. And even though he's invisible and unseen and hidden, we pray that we may sense his presence with us and understand he's working with us every day as we live our Christian lives. And I pray that you will be with all of those who are outside the loop and do not know Christ and do not know anything of this Christian experience. I pray that you'll bring it home to their heart and bring them to Christ by your great mercy, that for Jesus' sake. Amen.